Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. My guest this evening is Brent Delman, the cheese guy. Good evening, Brent.
Hi, Chaim. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Let's talk a little bit about your cheese selection. And then I'm going to ask you how you got into cheeses, of all things.
Okay, sure. I have a pretty wide selection of specialty artisan-type cheeses, both domestic and imported. It sort of spans the spectrum of items such as cheddars, Monterey Jacks, Havartis, goat cheeses, all different domestic cheeses. And then I have a number of imports, some things like fetas and a lot of Italian cheeses, Pecorino Romano, a lot of Pecorinos, the different sheep cheeses from the central and southern parts of Italy. I have a fresh Pecorino and aged Pecorinos. We also do some Parmesans and a number of different specialty Italian cheeses. That pretty much runs the gamut. I also have a number of French cheeses that we're working on and some Spanish cheeses that we're working on, but I guess we can get to some of that later.
Okay. So I understand that you were an international business major. How did you get into cheeses, of all things?
I guess it really started I guess this will give my age away, but about 40-something years ago as a kid growing up. I grew up in the Cleveland, Ohio area, and in the eastern suburbs of Cleveland, the neighborhood that I grew up in was a predominantly Italian neighborhood, so a lot of my friends had good Italian cheeses in their homes all the time. And in my home, I'm of Eastern European Jewish background, we always seem to have a lot of sour cream and butter and a lot of very creamy dishes always in the home. My mother found always good dishes to mix sour cream in with fruits, cut up strawberries and bananas and soups and all kinds of things with the sour cream and the butters. And then we also we lived in close proximity to an Amish area. So at all the little specialty stores, my mother seemed to find interesting Amish milk type cheeses that she would bring home for us to taste. And so I think those are the three influences that I had early on. And then as I grew older, I always felt I was an entrepreneur. I had a number of businesses, and I then went on to business school. But I always knew that I wanted to incorporate my passion for food with some sort of a business, and I received my MBA from George Washington in Washington D.C., George Washington University, and came out and started up a specialty food company, and I've been in the specialty food business for about over 20 years now.
You've been selling cheeses of all types over 20 years, you mean? Or that came later?
I have. I started out mainly though in other specialty food areas like chocolates and olive oils and grains and beans, all kinds of specialty foods, and I've sort of morphed into my real passion, which is cheese. About I'd say in the last 7 to 9 years, that has really been the real focus of my specialty food business. I have a wholesale distribution company and an importing company, and now what I've done over the last handful of years is gotten into the production end. I really work closely with the farmers, and I also, growing up in the Midwest, have a real affinity and a real bond with the farmers that I work with. So that has really taken over, but my passion in the cheese world and how cheese is made has just sort of formed over the last number of years, and it's been an evolution. But yeah, I'm a real cheese guy now. That's the name of my line, and that's the name of my brand, and that's what I go by, the cheese guy. So That's
last week you came back from an overseas trip. Did you manage to get any new cheeses, or did you get interested in some new cheeses not available to us before?
I did. I solidified some of my relationships with some of the Italian farms that are producing cheese for me. I also went to Israel and met up with some Israeli cheese producers. But Italy was the real focus of the trip, or at least in terms of my cheese, the cheese part of my trip. But what I did is I'm trying to sort of segregate. I'm focusing on Italy and dividing it up between the north and the central and the south. And I have cheeses that represent all three areas of Italy. And I'm starting to specialize. I met mainly with a lot of my central Italian suppliers outside of Rome, a couple hours outside of Rome, and also solidified some of the Sicilian cheeses, which are very interesting. The Sicilian and the Sardinian cheeses, I think, are some of them are now in the market, but there are some that are going to be coming out in the next couple of months. But it's actually the first time that there's ever been Sicilian kosher certified cheeses that are going to be coming into the States. Those are a lot of the Pecorino fresh sheep milk cheeses that are going to be coming out. There's a Pecorino Fresco Bianco, which is a fresh white sheep milk cheese. There's also with black pepper and red peppers, so a little bit on the spicy side. These are all coming from little Sicilian farms, obviously in the south of Italy, and those should be available in the next couple of months. Then I also have from the island of Sardinia, Pecorino Romano, which I think you familiarized yourself with.
As a matter of fact, I had the chance to pick up a couple of them this afternoon at Pomegranate Supermarket, which is just by my house. Uh-huh. And I used
it in
a couple of recipes instead of Parmigiano Reggiano, and the results were incredible. I think you converted me.
That's wonderful. Thanks. Give me a couple of words that describe the cheese.
Okay.
What are your
feelings?
First
of all, I found it a stronger flavor than Parmesan. And I did not think that I would ever find a substitute for Parmigiano Reggiano, but in quite a few cases, I would say that this is the Pecorino Romano, definitely is. I used it in a spaghetti alla norma. I also used it in a macaroni and three cheeses. In the three cheeses, which I usually make with a sharp cheddar, a Gruyere, and a blue cheese, I took out the sharp cheddar and I used the Pecorino Romano. The flavors were like, wow.
Oh, that sounds
completely
incredible.
Completely blew me away. I mean, new flavors I had not realized before. And the same thing when I was doing it in the macaroni alla norma, spaghetti alla norma, I meant. Very flavorful, above all, very sharp, but it's not the type of sharpness that, you know, would jar with everything else. On the contrary, I had it with some Chianti, and it was a perfect combination.
That sounds wonderful. In fact, I would recommend the Chianti as well. That's what I do recommend for the Pecorino Romano.
Mm-hmm. Cantina Gabriele has a very good kosher Chianti.
Very nice. Did you find that it had enough saltiness for the pasta?
Yes, just the right amount of salt, and that's one of the reasons why I liked it better than the Parmesan.
As you could probably tell, it's a very mature cheese. It's been aged over 2 years, which gives it that real aromatic sort of sharpness and that crumbly type of hard texture. As you probably know, as cheese ages, it becomes harder
right.
stronger. So this is a mature mm-hmm. cheese.
It's a 6-hour cheese between from the time you have this cheese until you eat meat. You have to wait 6 hours because it's a hard cheese.
Right. Correct.
Basically, that aged over 6 months is a 6-hour cheese, no?
That's correct. There are a few hard cheeses, kosher hard cheeses on the market currently. I produce and carry a few, some cheddars and parmesans mm-hmm. and the pecorino romano. That's current, and then I also have a manchego style cheese that we're going to be coming out with, which I can give you a little bit more information at the time.
And where is it made? Where is it made?
It's made in Israel.
Ah, I know.
And I'm actually working as well on a. I had a discussion with somebody today on a real manchego, an aged manchego as well. So we have a manchego style, and a real Spanish manchego.
The real thing.
Yeah.
Any of them Chol of Israel?
They will be both. Yeah.
Ah. I can't wait till they come out. I can't wait till I get my hands on them.
You know, that's I'm a South American,
so first of all, Parmesan, we used to have Argentinian Parmesan, and of course we used to have Spanish Manchego. I mean, I grew up on those.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to the States, the biggest shock was American cheese. This is cheese? I couldn't figure out what that weird thing was. It looked like cheese, but certainly didn't taste like it.
I hear it from kosher consumers all the time that they're looking for the hard aged cheeses. A lot of them from their mm-hmm. that they were able to experience in their childhoods from places mm-hmm. that they grew up, and that they have a
right.
real desire to have some of these some of these good imported cheeses back. Back where they can consume them as kosher consumers again. Can I tell
right.
you an interesting? You mentioned the Chol of Israel.
Right.
I'll tell you. I don't know if you or I'm sure you, but some of your listeners may not be aware of what it really goes. What goes into the making of some of these difficult to find imported Chol of Israel cheeses? And I can tell you a quick story about the Pecorino Romano. The milk comes from, it's obviously a sheep milk cheese. It comes from the area, the island of Sardinia in Italy. And sheep produce less milk than the other milk-producing animals that we
mm-hmm.
eat, the cow and the goat. Less milk is produced by the sheep. So very often we have to take, in order to make one production, we have to take milk from many different farms. So, as you know, Chol of Israel cheese, Chol of Israel milk, means that the
mm-hmm.
milk is watched from the time that the animal is milked until the time
right.
that the cheese is produced. So, if
right.
you can imagine the logistics to produce one batch of Pecorino Romano cheese, there are many small Italian farms that are dotted throughout the countryside in Sardinia. A mashkiach.
Mm-hmm.
Ashkichim, people who oversee the milking, have to go and sit at these individual farms. So
right.
there's not a very and the mashkiach has to be obviously a Jewish person who's traditionally observant. So the
mm-hmm.
the population, the Jewish population, is not that large anymore in Italy. So what has to happen is there's a community in Padua. These men are sent from the Jewish community of Padua out to the countryside in Sardinia to the individual farms, and they have to sit
mm-hmm.
there for days on end, sometimes 4 and 5 days, until they finish the whole milking process, until they can collect enough milk from all the different farms to go into one production. They sit there for days
wow.
on end. So the interesting and the difficulty at the same time is that, as you can imagine, most of the farmers in the countryside of Sardinia are not familiar with kosher traditions and kosher
right.
practices. So as these gentlemen are sitting out there, the mashkichim are sitting and watching the milking and the process and the whole process. The farmer's natural inclination, as they don't completely understand the procedure, they think that these people are not there for the kosher production, but they think they're likely there because of they're some sort of government overseeing body watching, you know, how they do what they do and to oversee to see if they're doing the right thing. So it's a so on top of it, so their natural feeling or almost I guess a paranoid feeling that these people are there overseeing their production. You know, it's a difficult thing to overcome, number one. Number two, the people, as you probably know, the Italian people in general are extremely hospitable. Hospitality, yes, is everything to them. So
absolutely.
Here, these gentlemen come out to their farms. They sit there. You know, they are their guests for four, sometimes five, 6 days at a time. And these people want to offer them food and drinks and to sit around and to schmooze and to be, you know, welcome them into their homes. And unfortunately, because these the mashkichim are observant of you know, kosher practices, they're not
right,
able to join them in and join them in their meals and accept their wonderful hospitality. So as you can imagine, it's a challenge. It's a real challenge.
Right.
But
right.
It's as you can see, it's worth all the trouble. The final outcome, wouldn't you say?
The final outcome absolutely is. I mean, if that pecorino is typical of the cheeses you bring in, man, you got incredible stuff. There is nobody else bringing in anything so wonderfully flavorful, so different from the norm, so delicious.
Thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful. It makes all of our efforts worth it when we get feedback like yours.
And now, what are some of the places where we can pick up those cheeses? In my neighborhood, for example, I can pick it up at Pomegranate. Where else?
Correct. It's my cheeses are sold in exclusive stores in the kosher world and in also the non-kosher world, the specialty stores. I shouldn't say non-kosher,
mm-hmm,
but, you know, the general markets, the general specialty stores,
right,
that also carry kosher products. For example, in the New York area, Fairway, Zabar's, the West Side markets, a lot of those are in Manhattan. Some of the Fairway has now expanded, so they have some stores in the outer boroughs and in New Jersey.
Yeah, they're even in Brooklyn.
That's right. Yeah, Queens, Long Island. So the West Side markets, then some of the kosher markets, we have a pretty extensive line in Glad Express and Teaneck, and as you mentioned, Pomegranate in Brooklyn, Aaron's in Queens, Super Sol in Manhattan, and they're now called Seasons. All the Seasons stores carry my products, Scarsdale. So they really tend to be out in the New York metropolitan area, in the generally more affluent type areas, you know, where consumers are more interested in paying a little bit more money for a higher end product. I've had some interesting stories about how my cheese has gotten to other areas. It's now being sold in Baltimore and Atlanta. And there's a gentleman who came a number of weeks ago, came to me, and from LA, who had heard about my cheeses. He flew in for the day, filled up about three duffel bags worth of as many of my Italian cheeses as he could fit. Got back on the plane a couple hours later, and took it out to LA. So I can officially say we now have product in LA.
Well, in Baltimore, you have what is the largest kosher supermarket in America, 7 Mile.
That's correct. Yeah, they don't currently carry. No, it's actually not there. And I'm sorry, I was remiss in mentioning it's in Boston as well at the butchery. We're not currently being sold at the 7. I think you said the 7 Mile market in Baltimore, right?
Right.
couple other smaller outlets in the Baltimore area.
Mm-hmm. So I am sure that in your jaunts around the world looking for the right cheeses, there must have been some funny stories that happened to you. Care to share some of them?
Yeah, sure. You know, actually, when I was in Israel visiting my son, who's studying there, we had a wonderful visit together, I must mention. Mm-hmm. You can find a cheese adventure in almost any town, and one of the things that happened, just as I mentioned on my trip last week, we were walking down the street in Kfar Saba, a little town in Israel, and in central Israel, and I saw a store by the name of Beit Gvinot, House of Cheeses, and we walked in. Everything was kosher. Started to talk to the shop owner. And I saw his spreads. He had some very interesting cheese spreads. And I started to ask him about it, and he started to give us some taste. And I told him I'm also in the cheese industry. He said, which one do you like the best? And I pointed to one with a little bit of basil pesto mixed in with the cheese spread. He says, Are you interested in seeing how I make it? I said, absolutely. The guy climbs up into the attic. He says, come on in and roll up your sleeves and let's get to work. So he and I rolled up our sleeves, and he brought down a bunch of big bags of some heavy creams and some other ingredients. We cut them open. We put them into cheesecloth. We went into the back room, and we started digging in, making fresh pesto and fresh cheese spreads, mixing it all together. And I actually got a couple of video clips of it and just had a wonderful time making some of these Israeli cheese spreads that you may even see around in some of the Brooklyn markets. Just mm-hmm. a phenomenal. So you never know where you can run into. And some other interesting stories, though, I can tell you that some of my cheeses, for example, the blue cheese. I have a blue cheese, which is extremely difficult to have made kosher because of the ingredients. You probably
right.
know the penicillium.
By the way, I was looking for it today at the Pomegranate, and no, they did not have your blue cheese.
Hmm. They may be out of the chunk blue, but I think I also produce it in a crumbled form. We crumble the blue and then put it in cups, which they may have available. So this cheese has been a project that I worked on for a couple of years. The mold that goes into the production of blue cheese is the same type of mold that it's a penicillin. It's called Penicillium candidum. There's actually two primary types of mold. One is Penicillium mm-hmm. candidum, and one is Penicillium roqueforti. But these two types of cheese are difficult to have produced kosher. There's also another ingredient a lot of people may not be familiar with. A lot of non-kosher cheeses have an ingredient called lipase, which comes from a cow's tongue. So this ingredient is another ingredient that is difficult to obtain kosher. So it took me over the course of 2 years to have a kosher production. But what we ended up doing was I met on numerous occasions with Wisconsin cheesemakers, third generation blue cheese producers, who agreed to produce kosher for us. And we tasted and sampled, until we got the right formulas down. And like I said, it was a work that took over. It's one of those. To me, it was just a very rewarding outcome. That having third generation they're called in Wisconsin, they're called master cheesemakers. And they have a certification that takes many years to obtain this master cheesemaker status. And so I have, like I say, third generation Wisconsin master cheesemakers producing kosher blue. So that's also one of my very rewarding cheese productions that has come out in the last few months.
I remember the first time that I saw blue cheese, the first thing that came to mind is, my God, they're not selling that. That's impossible. It's molded. Then after I see others, and by the way, it also smells very bad. So after I see other people tasting it, I, you know, reluctantly, very scared, took a little bit. Wow. What a revelation in flavor. Incredible.
Yeah. And by the way, it's a misnomer that that if you eat enough blue cheese, you'll cure whatever ails you. A lot of people think that if they have something that that requires penicillin, that if they eat enough blue cheese, it'll get rid of whatever.
It isn't that type of mold. No, that type of mold would actually kill you.
It's actually in such
I don't know
small
about
amount.
Killing, but that type of mold would actually kill you.
I've also got there are a couple other unique cheeses that your audience may be interested in. One is locally produced cheddar that's just phenomenal. It's produced by when I say local, I know you have a broad audience, but here in the New York area, upstate New York farmers produce local. Produce local milk for my cheddar, and it's an outstanding sharp cheddar. I know the kosher industry, the kosher consumers have been looking for a nice sharp cheddar for a long time, and this is sharp and creamy and has a real pungent, nice flavor that people look for in a sharp aged cheddar. It's aged close to a year.
And the Pecorino Romano is aged for how long approximately?
Over 2 years at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, looking at the website,
Go ahead.
You have a couple of other interesting Colavisorle cheeses like the Montaggio and the Bastardo del Grappa.
That's right.
I have not seen those anywhere. Where are they available? Who's got them?
They're currently... out of stock. They should be restocked on the shelves in the next couple of weeks, and some of them are going to be kosher for Passover, kosher LePesach.
Wow.
The Bastardo is an incredible cheese. They call it a Venetian-style brie. It's a creamy cheese. Yeah, it's a creamy cheese in a style of a brie, but it has a little bit more pungency, a little bit stronger flavor, and... But they will be available in the markets, probably the marketplaces that we mentioned, and the Montaggio is an Asiago style cheese. It's a nice Italian what we call a table cheese. Can be eaten with crackers or a nice just take a slice of it with a slice of a pear or apple, a slice of fruit or some grapes. It's perfect as a on crackers, as a table cheese, as we call it, or it can be melted. So there's the Montaggio, the Bastardo del Grappa. I also had something that we call Speedy Picante. It's an aged hard cheese that's got red peppers, red chili peppers in it. That's also going to be available. That has been in the market. Well, we had such tremendous response. I brought in one shipment of these particular cheeses. They're all Halav Yisrael, OU Halav Yisrael, and they were out in the markets for a couple of months, and they're completely sold out. So, like I say, in another couple of weeks, we will have the shelves restocked. The shipments on the water now, and. Product coming in. The one that I would highly recommend people to look out for is this Pecorino Fresco that I mentioned before. Fresh sheep milk cheese from Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit milder cheese, but it's sort of reminiscent of a fresh mozzarella. Take a slice
but
of tomato
there,
and a little bit of.
By
sorry?
Being since it's made from sheep milk, it should automatically be saltier, no?
It is. It is. Correct. Mm-hmm. Drizzle a little olive oil over it with some fresh basil and tomato, and you got yourself a meal.
Well, as a matter of fact, I still have some left over from my two dishes, and the aroma, even though they're full by now, the aroma is still overpowering. And while I'm already full, I'm already hungry again. And it's your fault. It's your cheese did it.
I'm very happy. Very happy to hear.
When I have to go back to exercise to lose the weight I'm about to gain, man, are you in trouble. I'd be furious at you making me work so hard.
Yeah, I could tell you. I hear so many stories of people, and I'll tell you, that's, as I mentioned before, that's what really makes my whole passion and my whole the company and all the work that I do. It really makes it worthwhile. I've had, in fact, my wife is a doctor in a hospital, and she had
right.
She happened to be talking to a fellow doctor, and he said, what does your husband do? She told him. She said, the cheese guy, the whole thing. He says, you've got to be kidding. He had tasted a Parmesan that I had in the market that we didn't discuss, but it was from Argentina, also Chalav Yisrael, which I think may not be out in the market a whole lot anymore. We had a lot of it, and it's it was a big success, and we're trying to replenish that supply as well. But in the meantime, so the doctor said to my wife, he says, I grew up a frum Jew, an observant Jew. He says, I never had the pleasure of tasting something like this Parmesan from Argentina that your husband produces. Tell him the Reginito, exactly. Tell your husband that he's opened my eyes to a whole new world of exciting foods. And I can tell you, when I hear a story like that, it's just so wonderful. And when you tell me, I can picture and I can almost smell the aromas in your home right now as we speak.
Right. And we are almost out of time. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chaim. I appreciate the time. And I appreciate your passion for food. You're doing a wonderful service for your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brent. You've been a wonderful guest. We'd like to do this again soon. And meanwhile...
I would love to join again.
It'd be a pleasure. Meanwhile, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And next week, we will have 3 shows. On Monday night, we will have a special pre-taped show from the wine extravaganza that Gotham Wines and Liquors is putting on Sunday. On Tuesday, we will have Levana Kirschenbaum discussing her latest book, The Whole Food Kosher Kitchen. And either Sunday evening or Motzei Shabbat, we will have somebody else who is actually a very, very famous star, and he will be presenting a Purim special. But that name is a surprise. As soon as we know whether we have it Motzei Shabbat or Sunday, we will let you know the name. Thank you very much. Good night to one and all.